everybody. This is Ellie.
And this is Jessie. And this is All Ideas Are Bad Ideas,
the podcast about the things we believe in our hearts to be perfect, but know in our minds are fundamentally flawed.
Our bad ideas focus for this week is Jurassic Park.
I literally can't think about Jurassic Park without thinking about the vine of the melodica person playing the Jurassic Park theme, and it's terrible and hilarious.
Oh no, I always think about the not the one with the kazoo or whatever, but like the one with like all the swearing words in it. I can't say it because we're not allowed to do F-bombs on the podcast, but there's one where they like put lyrics to the main theme for a good 10 seconds, and it's real funny.
Oh dear. It's all bad.
Yeah.
It's such a good main theme, though. Like, the main theme is not a bad idea.
No,
but
for sure. I mean, it's just, it's, Jurassic Park is kind of that classic movie. Like, it's got your classic composers for the score where it's real memorable and just kind of hits you right in the feelings and you can, like, recognize it instantly. And it's got all the good directors and producers that you've loved from other movies. And it's got actors that you recognize from other things. And it's from a book made by a famous author who, this is his, like, big book. Like, it's all
right.
Of it. It's just that typical kind of nostalgia movie where it's like everything came together and now we have this great movie.
It's super iconic, and I love, like, one thing that I really love about it is that for the most part, like, it's held up very, very well. Like, the parts that look dated, like, I think, you know, there's that animation with the DNA strand.
Oh my god, that thing kills me. And not because it's dated.
It's very 90s.
But just, I mean, it is very 90s, and that's part of it, but, like, it's not honestly just the 90s part of it for me. It's, like, the whole educational spiel. The DNA guy's voice kills me, because it's not, like, it's not the voice of anybody else in the movie. They just got somebody to voice act this little DNA strand.
Right.
He pronounces dinosaurs. Dinosaurs. Like, it's just like his voice
gets... It's the dinosaurs.
The dinosaurs. Like,
we're going to see them.
It just gets really southern only for that one word. And it's like, why did you pick this guy to voice act when, like, your whole movie is about dinosaurs? And he's the one who says that word in the weirdest way possible.
The dinosaurs.
The dinosaurs.
It's great, though, because, like, the everything about Jurassic Park reminds me of the Indianapolis Zoo. Like,
yeah.
Other than the dinosaurs, clearly, but, like, all the buildings in that, like, weird sand color, like, stone with the, like, fake animal fossils coming out of them. It's, like, if you've ever been to the Indy Zoo, it's, like, imagine Jurassic Park, like, and you're, like, yes, this is it. If all of these lions were dinosaurs, it would make sense.
Right, right.
It kills me.
There's just so many things. It really is an iconic movie, but they also made it very much an iconic, like, setting for the movie. Like, it's not just this island, like, it is the theme park. And, like, I've been to the part of Universal Studios in Orlando that is the Jurassic Park section, and, like, it's identical, because guess what? The thing in the movie is a set. The theme park in real life is a set. The thing in the movie that's gonna be a theme park is gonna be made of the same stuff that theme park sets are made out of. Like, it's all the same stuff. So, like, it's very fun, because a lot of times movies are trying to make it be like, oh, here's the setting, here's what's real. And they do that with the island, but they don't do that with Jurassic Park. They don't do that with the theme park. So it's still, it feels like a theme park, and you're like, wow, I've been on stuff like that. The cheesy little rides that, like, roam you around and are like, hey, here's
learn
stuff. Like, and it's part of what really grounds the movie, because you're like,
this is a theme park.
That's how
theme
parks work.
That's what they do.
It sure is.
They park. It's grand.
And even, like, the little remote-controlled cars that wheel you around or whatever is, like, really just super, like, safari tour kind of deal when you're not actually in the safari. They're just like, here.
Again, it reminds me of the train at the Indianapolis Zoo, because you, like, sit on it and it rolls you through, like, the safari, like, lands, and it's like, lions can leap 36 feet forward or whatever, right. And you're like, oh, I've learned about lions, and then you, like, chug on to the next, it's ridiculous.
No, for sure.
But also
sure.
So very, like, theme park zoo-ish.
Right. Which, like, great doing on the movie's part to make it, to make you really feel that, like, theme park zoo feel. Like, you get it from the movie. But, like, maybe not the greatest part on the in movie. Like, within the plot, within the character decisions kind of deal. I feel like we're gonna do that a lot. And I always say that when we end up with the real nostalgia films, because, like, they're nostalgic and they're classic and they're iconic for reasons. Like, they're good
movies.
Right,
like, they hold up very,
so
very
there's, like,
well.
There's
very
little
good.
That you can look at as far as plot or writing or character development or, like, stuff. There's, like, very little of it. Not to say that there's nothing. There's never nothing to critique. But, like,
right.
It's a good movie. And it's withstood the test of time. And a lot of people would agree that it's a good movie. So a lot of the bad ideas that we end up with are within the plot. Because the plot is made of bad ideas. It's a thriller.
Right.
Thrillers are built
it's
upon mountains of, like, mistakes.
People make bad choices, or, like, something doesn't make sense and they do it anyway.
Or there's an error in something and it goes catastrophically wrong, and then,
right,
like, nobody can
the
fix
bug
it. And
happens, and yeah.
Yeah. That's, like, so, that's how the plot works. So, like, we have to take that in mind with, like, these bad ideas is not us judging the writer of the book or the movie or anything like that. Like, because that's how the genre works. Like, we understand that. So we're just looking at it purely from, like, if you were a character in this movie, why would you do that?
Don't do the thing. Which brings me to the first thing that I want to bring up, because it's one of the first, like, this is a bad ideas that happens in this movie, right? We've been talking, well, I've been talking a lot about zoos, because Jurassic Park reminds me of a, I mean, it's a theme park, but it also reminds me of a zoo in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. And, so, like, in the first 3 minutes of this film, a man gets murdered by a dinosaur.
Yeah.
And, like, they just go on their merry way with dinosaurs. Like, if you don't remember when that kid fell in the gorilla pen and got, like, beat to death by a gorilla, and then they killed the gorilla, like, a couple years ago at the zoo in Ohio?
I think I do remember that, yeah.
Harambe.
Mm-hmm.
Not to talk about Harambe on this podcast, but, like, that's a the fact that they did not, like, think, this dinosaur has murdered a person, perhaps now is the time to reevaluate how we are, like,
interacting with the dinosaurs?
The dinosaurs and interacting with the dinosaurs. Right, like, zoos have to take precautions, and they do take precautions, and they do things to, like, make sure that people don't get regularly murdered by gorillas. And,
right.
Like, the fact that, like, there's a dinosaur attack in the first 3 minutes of this movie, and no one is like, perhaps we need to go back to the drawing board for a few minutes, is, like, the first of many, many bad ideas. Well,
oh, for sure. Well, because it's a theme that they address in the movie, too, about this idea that the guy who runs it, what's his name? Old.
I literally don't
old
remember.
Guy with the white hair.
The
anyways,
old man.
The old man. you know, Jurassic Park guy. But, like, he thinks that he can control everything. And that's what, like, one of the scientist tells him. She's like, you can't control nature, you can't control the the unpredictability of life, like, you can't control chaos, like Dr. Malcolm said, like, but he thinks he's in control. And so, like, it is that kind of just, like, willful ignorance of the fact that this is a big deal, that, like, somebody has died and that means big repercussions. And instead, he's very focused on, like, this could close the park. I want it to be open as soon as possible. And then they're making him bring in experts. So he tries his best to basically sales pitch these two scientists into signing off on his work without giving them the information. Like, they never knew that somebody died on that island before they came. They didn't even know there were dinosaurs. Like, he told them nothing.
Right. He was just like, I have a thing. Come and see it. I will give you money.
Have my great theme park. I'm gonna give you grant money for ages and just say it's good. And that's, I mean, it's the typical kind of money buys everything story where he thinks he can just make this happen, and it won't matter that somebody died because it's still a good idea, and he can still control everything, and it'll still work out all right because he believes in it, and then of course it doesn't.
Right. Clearly it goes very badly.
Yeah.
Because dinosaurs.
Because dinosaurs. Also because of that jerk of a hacker who is going to, like, sell the frozen dinosaur embryos to the, I don't know.
To another dinosaur park? Which, should we just take a moment to be like, there's one dinosaur park. Do you know what we need? Another dinosaur park. Another untested dinosaur park. Like, no. That's a terrible idea.
That whole thing, like, obviously they don't have dinosaurs yet. Because that's what they need the frozen embryos for. So they're sitting here like, okay, we've heard rumors that there's gonna be a theme park with real dinosaurs. So we're gonna make a theme park. We don't have any real dinosaurs yet. We're gonna have to go to the black market for that. Like, what kind of a business plan is that? Where you're like,
right,
this other thing is going to exist within the year. They have facilities built. They bought their own island. And you're just like, I'm gonna steal some frozen dinosaur babies and make it happen.
I know, they're like, oh, we're really close to getting the dinosaurs, but we haven't got there yet, so we're just gonna steal them.
Right.
And I just, like, I get it, business people, greedy, money, whatever the point that they're making with that is, but, like, let's all use a little bit of common sense and be like, okay, maybe we should find out how dinosaur park number one goes.
Before we implement part two
of the dinosaur parks. And then, like, there are plenty of other extinct animals that you could clone back to life. Make, like, Dodo Park.
Yeah, or Woolly Mammoth Park, or, like, Sabertooth Tiger Park.
Right, like, Ice Age Park.
Yeah.
We've got Jurassic Park, then we've got Ice Age Park. Like, you can do both. ¿Por qué no las dos?
Yeah, right.
Wait till the dinosaur park gets up off the ground and they don't eat anybody.
My thing is just, like, how did people hear about this? Because, like,
right,
obviously Jurassic Park hasn't gone public yet. Like, the only right people that know about it are the people who work there. And right the, like, stockholders or whoever that are funding it and want to right make sure that it's, like, not murdery. And so, like, how did these other questionable entities, they're not even, like, it's not like some typical foreign spy thing. Like, they're not even foreigners. They're just, like, this questionable entity that wants dinosaurs. Like, how did they hear about right this, and it's not like, just immediately think, like, say what
yeah
now?
Right.
I don't think that's right. Somebody got that wrong. Like,
I appreciate that they, like, vaguely imply that, like, they're, like, also a company that's working on dinosaur cloning, because I love that the implication is that at one time in the 1990s, there were not one, but at least two, and possibly more, we just don't know, scientific groups that were like, you know what the best use of our time is right now? Dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Dinosaur funding.
Yep.
We're going to make more dinosaurs be alive.
Well, and that's like, he had some sponsors in order to buy this island and make this park. Like, he found some rich people who were like, yeah, that sounds cool. So, like, how did these other people find even more people that are like, yep, you know what I want to put my millions of dollars towards? Alive dinosaurs. With questionable science that they can't even do right now. Like, at least Jurassic Park was like, oh yeah, we figured it out. We have dinosaurs.
This is, here they are. These are our dinosaurs.
Fund the dinosaurs. And you're like, all right, cool. Live, real dinosaurs. I can fund that. These other people are just like, well, we got this idea from somebody else that maybe dinosaurs could come back to life, but we haven't really figured it out yet.
We're, like, super, super close to getting the dinosaurs.
Oh my gosh. Like, can we talk about actually making the dinosaurs? Because, like, the whole bit with the dinosaurs is that they had most of the DNA sequence for the dinosaurs. And then whatever right was left over, they just filled in with frog DNA. They were just like, this will work.
Right. First of all, why frogs?
Well, like, that's happened in science before. Like, there's scientific precedent for, like, we want this creature to be cloned, but we don't really have all of it, so we're gonna take a similar creature and put it in. But, like, whenever that happens,
but, like, why
there
not
are,
chickens
there
or
are
lizards
always weird side effects, too, is the thing. Right. Is that, like, any AP bio student can tell you that, like, whenever you insert that other DNA, some weird stuff might happen. It might
weird
be small, where, like, they glow in the dark, where before they didn't glow in the dark, because you put jellyfish
right
DNA in a frog, and now they're just gonna have some jellyfish stuff. And, like, I don't understand how they didn't think that through. I mean, these are intelligent scientists, obviously.
Right. They made dinosaurs happen.
They have figured out how to clone dinosaurs from, like, a drop of blood that they found in a mosquito. They are brilliant minds. How did these brilliant scientific minds not think about the basics of, like, we're subbing in this other DNA, so we don't know what's going to happen?
Right.
It's the same thing about, like, control. Like, they just assumed that, like, oh, well, we know it will work, and it'll be fine, and here's a dinosaur, see, it looks perfectly fine. And, like, without thinking of, like, maybe they'll have weird genetic disorders. Maybe they'll be hermaphroditic, like they turned out to be. Like, you know?
Right.
Like,
maybe they'll just spontaneously be able to reproduce, even though you bred them not to do that, because frogs.
Yeah, and it's like, you're a scientist. You knew what, you knew exactly what species you were using to fill in the DNA for. How did you not realize that
was a thing that they did?
Yeah, how did you not, like, think through that at all? There's a weird lack of focus in the movie on the scientists that actually work for Jurassic Park, which, like, I understand because they're not actually important to the plot.
Right. And there's only so much space in the movie for there to be, like...
The movie would be so oddly paced if they took time to, like, introduce even more scientists when they already have three that were brought in to be main characters.
Right.
Like, I totally get that, but, like, it just... It's one of those things that makes you think outside the plot. You're like... How is their daily life? Like, what is the daily life of a scientist at Jurassic Park? Are they thinking through any of these things? Because, like, as a scientist, right. I'd be definitely wondering, like, are we going too far? Are we going to have some weird side effects here from playing God? Because that's, like, that's the things that scientists think of. They might still do it. They might still believe in their work. But they have to have some doubt. They have to have brought it up at a conference. Like,
well, and, like, they're scientists. Why didn't they have, like, why... And maybe it just doesn't come up in the movie, but it seems strange to me that there was no, like, dinosaur control experiment. Like, we cloned this dinosaur group, and then we waited for a while to see what would happen to them.
Yeah, they just went...
Like, it's an experiment.
They went so big so fast. Like, they just were like, oh my god.
We're gonna make all the dinosaurs.
We can make this dinosaur, so let's just make all the dinosaurs we possibly can. And it's like, I don't know that you have enough data... to actually do that with any fidelity. And that's, again, like, the bad idea stretches on of, like, not only do you have dinosaurs that are marginally in control of, but, like, you're making them for entertainment purposes. Like, you have scientists doing scientific inquiry, but that's not the focus of Jurassic Park. Like, the focus of Jurassic Park is not to have dinosaurs that you can study. The focus is to be a theme park, and that's just, like, a really big bad idea, because it adds this whole other layer of, like, mistakes.
Right. Well, and, like, that just seems like a bad idea to me, not only because they didn't do any dinosaur testing, but because, like, it's kind of dark for, like, a family theme park. Like, you watch at least two different living farm animals get freaking murdered to death to be eaten by dinosaurs. Like, full on. There are flying cow legs that have been ripped away from the body and, like, bloody bones and stuff. And, like, sure, like, the one little boy is like, oh, so cool, it just got eaten. But, like, that's a little bit dark for a theme park targeting kids and families and...
His older sister was not about it. And so, like, that's the thing is that you can't just... When you're a family theme park, you can't just hit the one kid. And honestly, with kids, you always have to go safer rather than darker. Like, as somebody who's worked with kids, that's just always a thought. Like, it's the same reason that, like, you know, up to a certain age, kids can only watch G-rated movies in school. Some of them are perfectly equipped to handle PG movies at a young age.
But a lot of them aren't.
Some of them are gonna have nightmares. So guess what?
Right.
You don't show PG movies when they're itty-bitty. Like, it's the same sort of deal. I mean, and you have stuff... I mean, with other theme parks, like, I'm thinking of Universal, because, I mean, this is a Universal movie, and so there's a lot...
Right, it makes sense.
They made their own parallels there, but, like, with Universal, there's stuff for, like, the little kids, like, Minion stuff, and then there's stuff for older kids with, like, the Mummy ride, and that's why they have height barriers and stuff. Like, Jurassic Park has no semblance of a theme park for families. It has no gradation of here's what's good for younger kids, here's what's good for older kids, families can do this, adults should be over here. It has no sort of sense of being a family place. It's really just like a straight up, we have one tour, it has everything on it, and if you don't like it, you're gonna be scarred for life, sorry.
Right. It's an oddly, like, not only did they clearly not do any experiments with the dinosaurs, but they did very little focus group testing on, like, how to arrange a theme park. Because it's terrible.
Yeah. Well, they didn't even look at examples. Like, could they do a focus group while they were this unstable with all the dinosaurs? Definitely not. That would have been a worse idea. But, like,
even just, like, having people sit down and, like, theoretically, or, like, replace the idea of dinosaurs with, like,
fish.
Some other big exotic mammals. And, sit, like, a group of people down and be like, we're going to design a ride and you're going to do X, Y, and Z thing and you'll go past these things. These are the things that will be included. And, like, if you're doing focus groups for, like, its families, some mom is gonna be like, maybe consider not including feeding live farm animals to the lions on it, or whatever.
You don't even
have to have them ride the ride, just tell them, like, the basic plan.
No, for sure.
You don't even have to mention dinosaurs!
Exactly. Well, and it's, like, it's just so strange, because it's not just this idea of this theme park, like, the guy who's making it really is focused on kids. He's like, I want to give things kids, like, things that they can touch, things that are real. I don't want to give them illusions. I want every kid to come here. Which, like, side note, how does he expect any family, really, to get to an island off the coast of Costa Rica to see his theme park?
We just don't know.
Like, there's even that part where somebody's like, wow, you could charge so much for it. And he's like, I don't want to charge a lot for it. I want everybody to be able to come in. Which is, like, sounds great, except that's not gonna happen because nobody can walk to your theme park, which is on an island off the coast of South America. Like,
planes!
You're only going to be able to have rich people come. Like, that's just a thing. Like, I admire your idea of, like, I'm gonna have every kid in the world be able to visit, but, like, unless you're gonna pay for them to fly out there or take a boat.
That's not gonna happen.
You don't even take boats. You take helicopters. How much is this costing?
Right. Well, you couldn't take a boat. It's like down a waterfall. You would die if you took a boat.
Yeah, I mean, I think
side note, bad design. You gotta be able to get out of things.
Well, there are docks somewhere, because Hacker Dude was trying to get to the docks to catch a sailboat.
Right.
Which left in that storm, because, like, there was a storm.
Right, but still.
But also, okay, for that,
if all the boats leave at once, you're still screwed.
Like, to get anywhere in the park, you have to go through dinosaur areas, which is
that's bad.
Such a bad idea to me. Like, you don't ever have a zoo where to get to the visitor center, you have to walk through the reptile house. Like, that's
right.
That's not what you do. Like, but it's everything. Right. Like, they get off the helicopter and they have to take the actual gas-powered vehicles through a bunch of dinosaur pavilions to get to the visitor center. And to get from the visitor center and, like, the, you know, the headquarters, Hacker Dude had to go out from that to the docks. He had to go through a bunch of dinosaur pavilions, which is why he had to unlock all the doors in the first place.
Right.
And he just left them swinging wide open, which, like, I don't care how much of a dick you are, like,
why would you do that?
Why would you just
close them behind
why would
you?
You it's just be belligerent about letting dinosaurs out everywhere? Like, even if you're leaving this island for good, just, like, close the door.
Right. Well, like, what if they learn how to swim?
Yeah, there's lots of dinosaurs that swim.
Yeah, they could still come get you. Like, keep the dinosaurs contained, my friend.
Oh, yes. Speaking of containment, and just dinosaurs being able to swim, like, again, the idea that he thought he could just put a bunch of stuff on an island and that would be cool is, like,
so bad.
Almost hilariously wrong. Like, because there's all sorts of environmental factors. And some of the, like, the two scientists that come, like, the paleontologist or whatever, like, she mentions it. She's like, you planted this here because it looks pretty, but it's poisonous to all the species that you have in this area. Like, they took over a natural island. They planted non-native species from the modern day. They also tried to resurrect non-native species from millions of years ago. And then they put a bunch of non-native species of living creatures on it. And just assumed that this would have no repercussions whatsoever for the living creatures they created or for the environment. And, like, what if they swim? What if they make it to the mainland? Like, you can't just assume it's just gonna stay on this island and nothing's gonna happen. Like, the environment's gonna impact the ocean around it. You're gonna have weird bacteria going on that you don't even know. Like,
running off into the ocean where they can get to the rest of the world!
Like, and where the rest of the world can get to your dinosaurs. Like, you're not just making this in a vacuum.
You didn't build a bubble. Right. Like, That's not how this works. Well, and, like, that goes back to my point about, like, there was no experiment. Like, they didn't, like, it feels like there's all those scientists employed because you watch them all running around when Dr. Grant, like, goes rogue and jumps off the ride.
Yeah.
And is, like, Ellie and Grant are like, we're gonna go check out the science. Like,
yeah.
And, like, you meet all of those scientists, and I'm like, what did you guys even science? Like, there's so many things that were not, like, they didn't, like, build a control of, like, what can these dinosaurs eat? Like, it's just so strange. There was no science from the 1 million scientists.
Right. Well, and, like, again, they are actual scientists. Like, you can't make the argument that they're, like, just half scientists or maybe, like, you know, undergrad students that they paid to be there. Because they had enough science knowledge and intelligence to make the dinosaur thing happen. Like, they are legit scientists.
They're science.
They know what to do with biology. So, like, how come they don't
science.
Show any other aspects of being a scientist?
Right.
Like, any other scientist would be, like, appalled with themselves for not attempting any of this.
Yeah, it's bad.
I don't know if they just got paid to ignore it or what, but I feel like there had to have at least been, like, five of them that were like, hey guys, science still needs to happen like science.
Right, we still need to do the science.
Right.
When we do this
we
science.
We can't just make the dinosaurs, we also have to do the science, because, like, otherwise, what?
Why are we making dinosaurs?
Exactly. Exactly.
They don't science good, and it's so strange to me. Because, like, why?
Yeah.
Like, why not do good science?
Well, and again, it, like, comes back to a plot thing. The basis of the thriller genre is that a lot of stuff skates by. Like, whether for greed or for laziness or for lack of caring, people just let things slide that they think will be okay, and then they end up being very much not okay. Like, that's...
Right.
That's how the genre works. And so, like, again, it's not, like we said earlier, it's not a bad idea as far as the movie goes. The movie's not having a bad idea by having these scientists be not scientists. That's not even really, like, a flaw in writing the characters. It's just, like...
No, the scientists are being bad scientists because they're supposed to be being bad scientists.
Yes.
Because they're bad scientists.
Exactly.
Like,
and if you gave all the explanation for it, then it wouldn't be a thriller anymore because you'd be bored. So, like,
right,
instead
it
of
would
the
take so
seed.
Long to be like, Jeremy Scientist was hired to do science, and they gave him a lot of money, and then he did science bad, and you'd be like, I'm very bored, Jeremy Scientist. Why are you telling me your life story?
Why do we have all these dinosaurs, and you're telling me about Jeremy Scientist? Like,
right.
Yeah.
It would be stupid. But I am going to question why the scientists didn't do science.
Yes.
Because I have to.
Also, this is our podcast. It's what we do.
Well, yeah. It would be not, like, a good name of all ideas or bad ideas if we didn't sit around and go, why didn't the scientists do science?
Yeah.
Do science.
Do science,
it's
scientists.
It's in your name.
You're a scientist. Do the science.
It's too much.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
I was just gonna say, I feel like a lot of the bad ideas in this movie just spring from people loving dinosaurs a little bit too much. Like, so much slides because people are like, oh my god.
Dinosaurs!
Real life dinosaurs. Like, even the two main scientists, like the paleontologist or whatever, the first half of the movie is just them, like, pushing aside
dinosaurs?
Any doubts
dinosaurs.
Because they're like, holy crap, dinosaurs are real. Like, they just, you know.
Here they are, we can see them.
And, like, you know, the guy, like, is all, like, excited about getting close to the herbivores, and it's like, they are still very large, and they could still probably hurt you.
They could squash you. You could get smooshed.
Just because they don't eat meat doesn't mean you can just go right up to them and be like, hello, you great, beautiful creature. Like, it's still a wild creature who
that
is
big 700 times bigger than you
and some
might
of them have
stomp
horns.
You.
Like, they're meant to take down T-Rexes. I don't know that you should be going up and trying to pet it. But, like, they all do.
Right. I would have liked to know what happened to the Triceratops that Dr. Sattler was trying to fix. Like, I know that it sort of got lost in the shuffle of, like, the dinosaurs are trying to eat us. But, like, you know. Was it poisoned?
Right, it was one of those things that was, like, set up as a mystery, and you were actually kind of intrigued because it went along with the whole environmental impact of this whole deal, and you were like, Yeah, but I mean, but in the end, it just ended up being a plot device to separate her from the other group. That's right. What that was. It wasn't about the Triceratops being sick. It was about making sure that she was not with the others. And so now we have two groups on the island, which is like fine, but it also would have been easy for her to like come back and have one line that says what she figured out about the Triceratops before the rest goes down. Like, that's all it would take. One line of like, oh, it turns out it wasn't the berries, or yeah, I think those berries are poisonous. You guys need to look into that, and then they don't because the rest goes down. But like, something.
I get it. It gets lost. And by the end of the movie, they're like firebombing the island, right? So like, it's dead anyway.
There's something. Are they firebombing the island at the end?
I want to say yes.
I was trying to pay attention to the ending, but I don't remember if they actually did anything with the island. I got the feeling they just kind of flew away. Well, and I'm getting mixed up too. I've read the book, but I read it a while ago. And so sometimes, you know, you have this kind of like assumption and you're not sure whether it came from the movie or the book. Because I feel like the book had more of like an epilogue. Like the movie ends so suddenly. Like it's just they got off the island and that's it. And you're just kind of left there with like, okay, so everybody's scarred for life, I assume. But like, what else even happens? Like, do they go back to their jobs? Do the kids go back to like what? And what do they decide to do with the island? And that's answered in later movies. But like, to have the movie end very suddenly like that is also kind of weird. And I feel like the book ended pretty quickly because they usually do the thrillers. But like, I feel like it might have had at least an epilogue, like a paragraph for each character or something of like, they went back to their lives kind of deal.
Right. In the book, the island does get firebombed. In the movies, it doesn't happen until the third one. Because sequels.
And that makes sense, because I didn't think they did it in the movie.
I felt like I remembered it, but I must just remember thinking about it when I read the end of the book.
Right.
Which seems like a heinous plan.
Oh, yeah. No, bad idea. Bad idea
Don't
all
just
around.
Leave the dinosaurs.
You're like, we narrowly escaped death. They're all gonna be out there still. Like, again, the control
dinosaurs.
Thing. Dinosaurs. Like, the whole deal with the dinosaurs is that, like, I just kind of assumed, from the movie's perspective, obviously, the story from the book and the movie are the same, so you could kind of make the assumption that maybe it happened, and it happens later because they know they're going to make more movies, etc., etc., etc. But, like,
from the
perspective of, like, this moment in time, when they just narrowly escaped an island, I always felt like there was the assumption that they just, like, felt like they could leave the dinosaurs there because they would die without the protein that they gave them or whatever. Remember how they had, like, that gap in their DNA? Like, there was some kind of thing where, like, if the dinosaurs didn't have the humans feeding them a certain...
The lysine contingency
Yes, the lysine or whatever. Like, the certain supplement, then they would die.
Right.
So, like, the assumption at the end of the movie is, like, they're leaving the island and they don't have to do anything with it because the dinosaurs will die. But, like, as we've already learned, the dinosaurs are pretty good at doing whatever it takes to keep living.
Did you not listen to Jeff Goldblum? Life finds a way!
Some of them... changed genders, like, you know, like, I feel like that's not a safe assumption. Like, I feel like, and not necessarily that killing the dinosaurs would be a good idea either, because you have some responsibility of, like, we brought them to life, but, like, there's no good answer there because they already just messed up too bad. Like, there's no good thing to do, but leaving it alone is the
it's
worst.
Definitely not the
that's
right
not
one.
The right track. You're not even trying.
You've done bad. Stop it. On the subject of you're not even trying, I think I would like to bring up a very huge point of bad that happens in the design of Jurassic Park, because, like, yeah, clearly they thought of some contingencies, right? They designed the dinosaurs with the protein missing so that they would die without the whatever. So, like, obviously some thought was put into what do we do if this all goes to pot. But what they didn't do was design a very good fail-safe plan for what to do if the, like, buildings and the mechanisms that contained the design of
the infrastructure fails. Yeah.
Right. There's... So, because there's the scene where I feel like I want to call him Wade, but maybe that's just because I feel like that's a computer hacker name.
I don't know. I can't remember anybody's names.
Like, the dirtbag guy who's stealing the dinosaur embryos.
Imbeciles.
I mean, he's an imbecile. It was maybe just a Freudian slip. But he's stealing them in the Barbasol can, which, side note, that product placement, though. He shuts down the system with his
hacker
code break. And, like, there's no easy way to do a hard reset. That's a terrible idea. Like, I know computers weren't super sophisticated in the 90s, but, like, if your entire park and the safety of all of the dinosaurs and people inside of it depends on these systems being online, making sure that, like, the fences are electrified and the gates can stay locked and, like, all of the other things that contain the dinosaurs and the people from one another, then, like, you need to have a very, very, very good plan in place for what happens if something in that system breaks. Like, you should not, the entire system should not go offline for hours just because of one bug in the code.
Right, well, like, a lot of secure places like that, I mean, despite what spy movies would have you believe, I feel. But, like, if a system shuts down, they're more likely to, like, lock everything in place.
Right.
If a prison's computer system goes down, all the doors don't automatically unlock. They stay very
they do
much
the
locked.
Opposite.
They lock themselves if they weren't already, and everything is locked down until you can get that up and running again. So, like, it's kind of like the opposite of what would be safe and what normal kind of secure environments aim for, of like, if something goes wrong, we need to make sure that the T-Rex pin is secure. Like, and that's so it's like, why is it all in one system? Why does one system shutting down shut down all the electric fences? Like, you'd think that they would have their own kind of backup generator at least. Cause, like, again, if something goes wrong, what is the one thing you don't want to fail? You don't want containment of the dinosaurs to fail.
Right,
so that should be the thing that is, like, guaranteed to not fail no matter what goes wrong. Like, that's just how you should design it.
Right. Like, it shouldn't be that easy to take down everything in the park. That's a huge, huge failure of, like, just common sense, really. Like,
Well, and I feel like part of it was a result of because they put it all on Hacker Jerk. Like, he designed their software. So he made it so that he was the only one who could do anything with it, which, like, that's not how you do software, and that's not how you build a system. You have a team of people, and you have people overseeing that team of people, and then you have a lot of open communication between that and other departments, like, so that everybody knows how the system works, and people can be like, hey, I don't think that's such a good idea that all the doors unlock. Let's try to fix that.
Right. Well, and, like, the fact that, like, clearly, like, the hardware team, for want of a better term, like, the people that actually build Jurassic Park, like, the people who designed the actual buildings of Jurassic Park, like, clearly did not consider functionality in a lot of ways, because the fact that, like, to do a hard reset of the system, what they needed to do to reboot it and get everything to come back online was cross all of the dinosaur lands to get to the, like, mainframe or whatever and turn the switches is a 0 out of 10 planning idea. Like, if everything goes wrong, you want your hard reset to be in the easiest of reaches. You do not want to be running across a park full of dinosaurs to flip some switches to make it all work again. That's terrible planning. And that's something that, like, should not have been, like, the computer bug is probably because Wade, I'm going with it. His name is Wade now. Was the one in charge of designing the whole system. But, like, somebody on, surely, on the construction team, like, should have noticed, you know? Like, maybe Wade built the flaw in on purpose, but I can't imagine that the construction people built the flaws on purpose, too. Like, that just seems like a very bad amount of planning.
Like, the head of security there is a very straightforward guy. Like, he's not convinced that the park is safe. Like, he's head of security of the park, and he's like, this park is very unsecure. And, like, he has no problem telling complete strangers that. So I find it hard to believe that he would never bring it up at all. Like, I just have
the,
to
like,
imagine that he was
process.
Completely ignored, like he is most of the time, by the head guy. He's like, hey, here's a danger, and the head guy's like, it's fine. And he just keeps doing that. He's like, hey, here's a danger. Also, raptors are smarter than you think they are. You're all scientists. Why is Mr. Australian Ranger Buckaroo over here the only guy that knows that raptors can, like, be intelligent?
Learn things.
And use teamwork and take down people. Like,
it's bad. It's just so dumb. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just can't. Like, it goes back into sort of, like, the scientists didn't do the science, and then, like, the people that weren't necessarily scientists, but were, like, amusement park builders didn't do amusement park building very good. Like,
right. Well, and it makes you wonder, too. I mean, they seem to have a lot of money, and they seem to be using it very poorly. Because, like, if you can afford all these scientists and all these dinosaurs, why can't you afford two more software engineers? Or, like...
Right.
Like, builders who are actually building, like, you know, because it's totally possible that they just pulled a lot of local people who didn't really know what they were doing. Like, and then once they got there, were probably too shocked or scared or needed the money too much to even put up ideas.
Question. So then you they only just have, started building.
Then you have, like, five people at the top who are actually capable of making decisions, and four of them work for the one guy. So, like, it's an oligarchy. Like, they didn't set up an actual company. They just set up, like, I'm gonna make an amusement park, and you will have to do it.
Right. It's so strange, because it's not that the people that built the park were unskilled, like, clearly it was skilled workers, but they're not the sort of, like, did they hire an architect? Did the architect not be like, hey, these things are bad. Don't do them. Like, you know.
Yeah.
If any of the architecture majors that, like, we were friends with in college were put to designing something like this, they would be like, this is no. This is no, and you can't do these things.
Right.
There was no amount of planning or, like, design. I guess it's more urban design than, like, architecture, and it's not even really urban design. It's just sort of, like, design.
Yeah.
But, like, surely some person with some sort of background in that was, like, involved, because it's complex enough that I can't imagine a layperson sat down and was like, do these things, you know?
Right. But, like, well, and you see signs of architecture. Like, the visitor center is a very appealing building. Like, somebody designed that. And the buildings are very practical, and they have all the bits and pieces in them that they need to. Like, they're just, it's how they were laid out. It's how the whole island was laid out of, like, everything is inside Dinosaur Town. And, like, nothing's convenient. Like, you're not close.
Right.
There's no center. There's just, like, isolated
just
little
dinosaurs.
Buildings, like, with, surrounded by dinosaurs. Yeah.
I think that's something that really, like, astonishes me inside of the film, is that, like, so many people agreed to fund this park, but with so little
input?
Yeah, like, knowledge of, like, the fact that the first time the investors get concerned is when a dinosaur eats someone is very concerning to me, because I feel like, the investors did a really crappity job. Why did they not go, hey, your design kind of sucks, maybe change these things so that people don't die? Like, it's such a bizarre, like, no one did their job. The investors didn't invest good, the scientists didn't science good, the architect didn't architect good, the builders didn't build good, the software guy didn't software good. Like,
right.
How did they get so many incompetent people all in one park full of dinosaurs?
I have to just imagine that it was literally just money. Because, like, it's heavily insinuated throughout the entire movie. I mean, the way that, like, the two main characters get roped in is because they don't want to go do whatever this is. And then he's like, well, I'll fund your project for the next, like, 10 years. And they're like, okay, we are going to an island. Like, and I have to just imagine that that's what everything else was. It was just kind of like a make it happen with money kind of deal, because he's old and rich, and if you paid people enough, then they would either do it or they'd still say no, and then you could fire them, because it's an individual enterprise. This is not under the command of any government, which seems crazy, but, like, possible, just a bad idea for nobody to be overseeing this. Like, they don't have to meet the safety standards of any country. They don't have to, like, respond to anybody but the people who are paying for it, who obviously kind of think it's a good idea if they're paying millions of dollars for it. Like, they're more willing to bring in scientists and have them sign off on it than to voice their own doubts about, hey, maybe this wasn't a good idea, because now they've already...
Hey, maybe the dinosaurs are dangerous.
I mean, by now they've already bought an island, built an entire complex, and cloned hundreds of dinosaurs. Like, it's too late to back out.
The ship has sailed. We have dinosaurs now.
Yeah. You've already jumped the shark. Like, there's no going back.
Yes. I think that this is, like, probably, like, a good moment to, like, get into the ultimate bad idea.
Yeah, I think
so. Which for us, here in the movie Jurassic Park, is just like, the cloning of dinosaurs? Like, don't clone dinosaurs. I think this is going to become, like, a... This is, like, a tangent to our, like, time travel not even once.
Right.
Because, like, what are dinosaur clones if not time-traveling DNAs? Don't.
Yeah.
It's bad. Don't introduce things that don't belong in the time period in which they are to that time period. Like, if you go back in time and you step on a butterfly and your great-grandma is sad and stops in the road to mourn the butterfly and gets hit by a car and you, like, are never born, that's a problem. But if you bring dinosaurs back from the past and they eat you, you're also screwed. Like,
right. Yeah, no, it's a different way of looking at it, but, like, it is the same thing. It's, like, it's deciding that you're going to be in control of something that you naturally cannot be in control of. Like, no matter right. what you do, if you do this, which in this case is cloning dinosaurs, but in other cases could be time travel, like, if right. you do that, you are automatically messing things up. Like, you are automatically right. making a mistake. It is already a bad idea. You cannot right. just do a little. Like, as soon as you do it, something has changed that was not
for
naturally supposed to change, and things are bad.
Right.
Because
Jeff,
like,
Goldblum, he tries to tell them.
Yeah.
He explains chaos theory and is like, if you change one tiny thing, all of these other things have changed. And, like, putting a mother fluffin' T-Rex into the modern world is not on the small scale of a flippity flappin' butterfly wing. Like, that's a huge thing to introduce to the modern world. Like, sup, y'all, we done made a T-Rex.
Yeah, and it's not even one T-Rex. It's a whole island full of dinosaurs. And like we said before,
right.
like, the environmental impact of that could be unprecedented. Like,
right.
you haven't... Even one thing would be bad. And you didn't even stop there. You didn't even time travel once. You traveled 50,000 times and decided to breed them.
Right.
It's just so bad. It's just such a bad idea.
It's like... It's just not... Like, okay, so there's the fear, right, currently, that the rate at which Arctic ice is melting could unleash biological organisms at, like, a microscopic scale that are diseases that we have never seen that are frozen in the ice.
Right.
And, like, that's exactly what the dinosaurs are. Like, you are taking dinosaur blood, you are moving it out, you are cloning it into a dinosaur from this one drop of blood. You don't know what's wrong with that dinosaur. Maybe it's a sick dinosaur. Like, maybe there was something wrong with it, and that thing has now been introduced to us.
Right, well, that's the thing.
Who don't know how to handle that.
What a lot of people fail to realize is that, like, an organism is not just itself. Unless it's a single cell, organisms are complex things, complex systems, complex beings, and they have other organisms
right.
inside of them. We have a lot of bacteria inside of us. We are filled with bacteria
right.
and viruses and weird things in our blood and weird things in our brain and
like weird things
in our mouth. Just like, and that's every creature. So, like, what you're
right.
doing is you're cloning a creature that has a biological composition that nobody's actually been able to pinpoint because they've never actually had tissue to pinpoint it with
right.
because all we have are bones. Like, you're bringing back an entire biological organism, many of them, a whole environment of biological organisms that, just like you said, could have, I mean, they could have bacteria, they could have diseases, or they could just have, even if it's not a disease that wipes out things, it could have an impact, it could get into the water, it could cause unknown calamities to other
right.
creatures, even if it's not us. Like, you don't know what it's gonna do.
Right. Right. It's just so, it's so dangerous. And, like, clearly, like, duh, this is the ultimate bad idea, not because no one considered it, because Jeff Goldblum spends the entirety of this
right.
movie going, you should not have played God, why did you make dinosaurs, this was a terrible plan, there are dinosaurs now, this is bad. Like,
yeah.
But it's such a bad idea that even though it is addressed within the movie, it has to be addressed here too, because the magnitude of, like, IDGAF that goes in to looking at a little bitty mosquito trapped in a little bit of amber and saying, you know what we're gonna do? We're gonna suck the blood out its butt and we're gonna turn it into a dinosaur is, like, it's astonishingly bad. Like,
yeah,
mind-blowingly, unprecedentedly stupid.
For sure,
How? And why?
Well, and like, this is the part where I have to take a little tangent and be like, obviously this is the bad idea of the movie. It's the whole premise of the movie. So like, I do want to say that like, us saying that this is the ultimate bad idea is not us being like, Jurassic Park should not have cloned dinosaurs as a plot device. Like, that is not what we're saying at all, because like, that's the whole premise of the thing, and that's why everybody watches it. If Jurassic Park didn't have dinosaurs in it, what would it even be? Like, it would not exist. Nothing. Like, so we're not saying this as like a bad idea that writers should have fixed or anything along those lines. This premise is great. The premise of somebody figured out how to clone dinosaurs and now they're on an island.
And now there are dinosaurs.
It's so good. Like, it's fantastic. And for a thriller especially, where it starts out and you're like, the characters think that maybe this is okay. Maybe this is an okay thing. And then it becomes very, very not okay. And it just continues to be the most not okay. Like, it's the perfect setup for a thriller. And honestly, Michael Crichton was a genius. It was, this is such a good idea, writing-wise. Right. Well,
and it capitalizes on a lot of the, like, fear that was happening at that time, too. Like, that was around the time that Dolly the Sheep was cloned. It was written. So, like, it is a brilliant piece of work. Like, it is. It's very, very good.
For sure.
But, man, don't clone dinosaurs!
It's just, it's the ultimate good idea in the world that we live in right now, where it's a book. It's the ultimate bad idea in the world that they live in, where somebody actually took that step and instead of cloning a sheep, decided to clone a raptor.
Right.
So it's that next step where fiction takes the next step that reality hasn't yet, and we're just hoping that it serves as a warning, which hopefully it will, because everybody has seen Jurassic Park, so if at any point somebody goes, hey, I think we could make a dinosaur, 10,000 people around them are going to be like, no.
No. We cannot make a dinosaur. Have you not seen Jurassic Park? What are the words you are saying?
Exactly. So, bad idea. In film, in story.
And in real life. Like, if you clone a dinosaur in real life,
if you decide to play God and just clone a bunch of extinct creatures in real life,
stop it.
You should not.
Do not do that. Do not do this thing that you are considering.
Cloning. Not even once.
Life Advice with Ellie and Jesse returns.
It's our same message, just with different things that you really shouldn't do.
I think that that's what it's gonna be, though. Like, don't clone dinosaurs, dinosaur cloning, not even once. Time travel, not even once. We'll just keep adding to our maxims of not even once.
Yeah. It's a good theme. We give good advice, people.
Right. We might find the bad ideas, but we've got the good advice because of it.
Yeah. And, I mean, you probably do too, because if you're a sane person, you watched Jurassic Park and went, yeah, the dinosaur cloning was a bad idea.
But if you're, hey, listen. Buddy, pal, if the concept of, like, cloning dinosaurs does not yet seem like a bad plan to you, just trust us. Okay, do me the favor.
Maybe watch The Lost World. Like, there's more evidence of the bad idea-ness.
There will, as of, you know, June of 2018 or whenever, there will be 4 more don't clone dinosaur movies. So, like,
although I
take an afternoon.
I haven't actually seen any of the Jurassic Worlds. Are they more pro-dinosaur? Because sometimes from trailers, I'm looking and I'm like, I think Chris Pratt is making friends. I don't know that it's so uncloned dinosaurs.
He befriends some raptors, but, like, also a lot of people do get eaten. Okay.
So it's still pretty...
It's pretty dinosaurs.
It's pretty don't clone dinosaurs. So, yeah, plenty of evidence for you to say nah to the cloning.
Do not clone those dinosaurs.
Don't do it.
This is the message we leave you on. Cloning. Not even once. And with that, this sage life advice, we wrap up our fabulous Jurassic World. Nope. It's not Jurassic World.
It is Jurassic Park.
It is Jurassic Park. The OG Jurassic theme park place. But we're wrapping up our episode about it because I can't talk anymore, clearly. And if you enjoyed it, we would appreciate it if you could let us know, you know, rate, review, subscribe, whatever floats your boat. You can find us on iTunes and in the Google Play Store and from Podomatic, which is where our podcast is hosted. So if you're more into downloading from the internet, check us out there.
As always, we have lots of ways for you guys to interact with us online. We have a Twitter that's at Bad Ideas Cast. We also have a website that's allideasarebadideas.wordpress.com. The blog there gets updated pretty frequently with some cool things that may or may not be related to whatever kind of podcast episode we're doing that week. A lot of in-between episode stuff for you, so you can keep abreast of our thoughts and keep on that pop culture train. Also, we are working on releasing a promo for a show, you know, that kind of little tidbit audio that you can clip onto the end of episodes for us to spread the word about our show. But also, once we get that out there, we'll be taking in promos from other episodes to put on the end of our episodes so that we can also share the podcast love. We're going to be doing this through Lady Pod Squad and their promo swap. But if you are not part of that group, if you are just a podcast out there listening to us or thinking that maybe we'd be a good medium through which to spread your podcast and you would like to do a podcast promo trade, just get in touch with us. We have a contact sheet and our email both are on that website. So just shoot us an email, say, hey, here's us, here's what's up, send us your promo, we'll send you our promo, and we'll try to tack it onto the end of an episode. So get in touch if that's something you might be interested in.
Yeah, we're really excited to start doing some promos. So thanks for listening. Thanks for swapping with us. This has been All Ideas Are Bad Ideas.
We will see you in 2 weeks.